I would say that virtually everyone here has loved ones who have served in some form of military, probably in one of our wars. And so it's a good day for us to honor and remember. Memory is an important spiritual concept. Have you thought about that? It really comes up a lot. God says, I will remember your sins no more. I don't have to go any further than that. Really? I will remember them no more. Huh. It really is a clean slate that God gives us through faith in Jesus Christ. As far as the east is from the west, those two don't ever meet up. East continues to be east. So far, that far, infinitely, I have removed your transgressions from you. There are other things that we're told that are remembered in the Bible. God assured David that he would remember the injustices done to Israel and hold their enemies accountable. There's something in us that doesn't want people to just get off scot-free. They've injured, they've hurt, they've maimed, they destroyed. And for God just to wave it aside and say, well, I don't care, we're not going to worry about that one. There's a part of us that is God-like, that wants justice. And God says, I'll remember justice. Now, there's always mercy. Anyone who is designated for justice with God can receive his mercy and forgiveness. No one has to face up to the justice of God because he offers us his mercy. God urged Israel when they came into the promised land and that everything was going to go well and they were going to have prosperity. And he said, I want you to remember a number of things. One, I want you to remember how awful you were on the way here. Don't ever forget. What a bunch of disobedient, stubborn people you have been. Why would God want them to remember that? Well, it would make them humble, wouldn't it? It would cause them to appreciate his grace and what they had. But he also wanted to remember that when things went super well and they were all living in houses and they'd built towns and life was good, that it wasn't them that did it, that it was God who had made that possible. Peter writes to the saints and he basically says, I don't really have anything new that I'm writing to you about. I just want you to remember these things that God has spoken to us. Well, that brings up a bit of an issue because some of us are memory challenged. Rhonda and I laugh and we say we have one good memory between us. I can get the first name out, maybe a letter, and she'll remember the other part. So between the two of us, we have one pretty good memory. It's called marriage security. Neither one of us want to leave the other because then we'd only have half a brain. Maybe you relate to the professor who was headed up the stairs and got engaged in a conversation. Oh, no, a second joke on the same morning and following the first ones. Steve, lead the laughs, would you? Even if it's not funny. But after talking to the student for a while, he said, oh, by the way, when you met me, was I going up the stairs or down the stairs? And she said, well, you were going down the stairs, sir. He said, oh, good, that means I've already had my lunch. All right. Maybe you relate to this one. I constantly walk into a room and don't remember why. But for some reason, I think there's going to be a clue in the fridge. Yeah, that would be me. Benjamin Franklin said, creditors have better memories than debtors. Robert Frost said, a diplomat is a man who always remembers a woman's birthday but never her age. And Vince's dad, Willie, used to say, a good thing about losing your memory is that you can always hide your own Easter eggs. I want to talk to you this morning about making a willful choice to remember the deeds of God. We can be just as guilty of forgetting the things that God has done in our life. There's a great example of it in the book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah is, as you would expect, lamenting. And the book is real easy to organize. 2.5 chapters of doom and gloom. One bright moment, 2.5 more chapters of doom and gloom. So there's your overview of Lamentations. But in the middle of this recounting of how miserable things have become for Israel with the Babylonian captivity and all, Jeremiah makes a willful choice to remember the deeds of God. And it makes all the difference. I want to commend that to you today. In Lamentations, Jeremiah has been Jerusalem has been totally destroyed. She once was called the perfection of beauty. That was a name people described Jerusalem. She was called the joy of the whole earth. But now this queen has become a slave. Destruction, desolation, intense suffering, affliction. Israel has been crushed and trampled on. There is starvation, even cannibalism, and death. And after recounting how bad things are, Jeremiah makes it clear that all this is God's doing. And if you've ever been in a situation where life has made an ugly turn, nothing is harsher than to have the gnawing thought that God has done this to us 44 times. In chapters 1 and 2 alone, he attributes the disaster to God. God, you have done this to us. Look at Lamentations 2:17, kind of summarizes that. The Lord has done what he planned. He has fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted the horn of your foes. Israel's sin had reached a point. Their refusal to repent had brought God to a place where he said, I will judge you. And as Lamentations 2:17 points it out, God has been doing that. Another factor in this book is that Jeremiah feels it personally. It's not just about what's happened to his country. It's affected him in a great way. Let's read, follow along as I read, pull things out of quite a lengthy part where it sounds like we're reading the book of Job. I'm the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He's made my skin, my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. Again, isn't that the graphic kind of description of Job? He's besieged me, and you understand this is not a literal description. We don't go back and say, well, when did God break one of Jeremiah's bones? But it's a description, a poetic description of how he's feeling and how the effect this has had. He's besieged me, surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. He's walled me in so I cannot escape. What a description that is. He's weighed me down with chains. I don't feel like there's anywhere I can go. There's a wall around me that I can't escape all of this. And I'm dragging this terrible chain around wherever I go. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Have you reached a point ever in your life where you felt like God isn't even listening to my prayers? He's barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path, mangled me, left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He's filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He's trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. Jeremiah is low. And he has a good memory. Verses 19 and 20, he says, I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them. My soul is downcast within me. What's he saying? All day long, that's all I can think about. All the things that God has done to me, against me. And it fills my mind. I remember it well. And in the middle of that, he makes a willful choice to stop and, instead of looking at his circumstances, to think about the deeds and the character of God. He calls them to mind, he says, verses 21 through 26. Yet this I call to mind. Now, he says, I call to mind. He said, I did remember that one time. No, Jeremiah is intentionally bringing up things about God and his character. He's calling them to mind. He's recalling them. And he says, I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. He just told us that all his hope is gone. Well, that's the emotion. That's the depression and discouragement that says there's no hope. But now he says, I will recall. I will call these things to mind. And one of the things he calls to mind is that the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He makes himself think about God. He forces himself to look past his current situations and recall things like God's love, God's compassion, how it's new every morning. And it gives him hope. It gives him a reprieve from the suffering. It gives him strength to continue facing his ordeal. Whether it's Memorial Day and you're remembering the sacrifice of someone for our nation, whether it's remembering Jesus and his sacrifice for our sins, or like Jeremiah, maybe it's a personal challenge and you are facing ordeals of your own making, the injury from other. It doesn't matter what area of life. Remembering, willfully choosing to reflect on the good deeds and character of God will serve us well. And I want to just in passing, in a very shortened message today, I want you to think of three things that remembering will do for us. One, remembering brings gratitude and humble dependence upon God. Remembering is the key to gratitude. You say, well, there's nothing in my circumstances to be grateful for. Well, that's where Jeremiah says, but this I call to mind. And when he starts to think about God's love and it's new every morning and his compassion and the mercy that this isn't the end of the story, it gives him a sense of gratitude and a dependence. Success will always inflate us. Success has a way of making us proud. And failure has a way of defeating and discouraging us. But remembering what God has done at segments in our life will always result in gratitude and dependence. Here's how it played out for Deuteronomy in the passage that I said to you earlier. The Lord says to Israel, when you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, the decrees that I'm giving to you this day. Otherwise, if they forget, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert. It was dreadful. That thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourselves, and isn't this our human nature? My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. When things go well, what's our first thought? Wow, my diligence has paid off. That was a smart move. I knew I had it in me. We start to compliment ourselves. We say things like, my power and the strength of my hands have done this. But remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. In one sense, He's saying, no, it isn't that you're good or powerful or anything. I'm just keeping a promise I made to your grandpa, your great-great-great-great-grandpa. I wonder how often that plays off in our lives. When we're thinking of taking the credit for something, God is thinking, no, I'm just honoring the obedience of your grandma. I'm just answering the prayers of your great-great-grandpa. And so it brings gratitude to remember that. The second one is that remembering brings perspective. Jeremiah is wallowing in depression. And then he says, I'm going to call this to mind. I'm going to think about God's goodness. And it gives him a new perspective. Yes, God is judging his people. Yes, they are in exile and desperate. But all is not lost. There is still God's mercy and compassion. And he has that perspective that there's a tomorrow. Judgment is not unending. One of Satan's lies is that things will never be different than they are today. When you are really facing a tough time, a tough chapter in your life, the enemy wants to come by and say, things are never going to be any different. You're going to have this till you're done. But no, that's not true. There is the mercy and the faithfulness of God that can make tomorrow different. And Jeremiah says, in this I have hope. The third one is that remembering brings inspiration, strength, and hope. Now, Jeremiah's situation doesn't change immediately. You know, the Bible isn't one of those books where somebody prays a prayer and then everything is instantly changed and there's never any problems after that. And if somebody describes Christianity like that to you, just have them read Lamentations. Because we have this bright, shining moment. And it brings perspective, and it brings strength, and it brings hope. And then there's 2.5 more chapters of doom and gloom. But the remembering has done something for him. And the story ends a little bit different than the beginning. The story ends with a mixture of pain and promise. He's not going to get a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's still going to be 70 years that they're in exile before the Lord's promises and those promises are answered. But now there's a combination of pain with promise. And I suggest to you, that's a real Christian life. That when we intentionally, deliberately, willfully choose to remember God and His character, it brings into our pain promise and hope and strength to endure. Listen to these last words. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen. This is after he's had the the great moment with God. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate with jackals prowling over it, you, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. There's some promise, some inspiration there. Yes, it's terrible, but he remembers he's praying to a God who reigns, whose throne is from generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, O Lord. In the first part, there's not even any hope of restoration. But now he's facing it all with a little different perspective. Restore us that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Unless, of course, you've utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Isn't that how our minds work? Pain of the situation, God's promises, more pain. But he is eternal. But maybe he's rejected. I agree. I'll grant you that he's still very much in turmoil. But the constant pain has had the interjection of promise and mercy and hope and strength. And for Jeremiah, that will make the difference. I want to urge us, in our pain and in our pleasure, let us willfully choose to remember the deeds and the character of God.